The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Garrett Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rings on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rings on the track.
Hey now, welcome to the Mike and JD show. Clearly, I'm not Mike Gilbert, I'm JD Oliva, by God, somewhere in there. And Mike has a family thing today, so he is unable to make it. So I called in a reliever. I called in one of the best in the business. I figured this is the best week possible to have our guy on. That is my good friend, Scott E. Wrestling. Thanks, dude, for coming on.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. I always love coming on here. Obviously, you know, things happen, so I'm here. But thank you for calling me in. My arm's ready to go.
Dude, I like having you on because I figure, one, I like talking to you. You're my friend. Two, this turns out to be a pretty big week in women's wrestling. Joshi stuff in particular might be going on. So I figured, hey, man, this might be a good time as any to bring in Scott. But other than that, man, how you doing? What's happening?
I'm doing good. It's almost summertime, so, like, life is better just naturally. I know, obviously, you're in Illinois, so you know how bad winters are and things like that. And, you know, we've had a few cold days still, but I'm just excited. Like, I just feel like I'm naturally in a better mood. And, you know, wrestling's it's okay right now. You know, if you're an AEW fan, it's great. If you're an AEW fan, it's great. If you're a fan of everything else, well, I mean, if you're a fan of, like, you know, WWE, you can look past certain things too. It's pretty good. But
if you're a fan of WWE, you have to be look past certain things.
Looking past a lot. But a lot. I'm in a good mood. So I think that's a win here. You know, like, I'm in a good mood today.
I'm happy one of us is. I'm not in a good mood today. You know, well, that's okay, man. Like, there's going to be days that, you know, I'm going through some morning stuff still. And, you know, I don't know, like, you just want to kind of rush the process, but sometimes you can't. Like, the end of my day today, I just got, like, super down, and then, like, had a good practice with the kid and it was all good, and then afterwards I'm just, like, down, like, you know, just it's just one of those days, and you kind of know what's going on, but you got to kind of, hey man, I consider myself a pro in this and I'm gonna push through it. But, you know, I'd rather be talking about wrestling right now than just about anything else. So I'm glad you're here, and I agree. It's if you're an AEW fan, it's a good thing. It's a good time. Everyone on the internet's telling me no, that's not actually true. That I'm supposed to be really upset with AEW because, you know, none of this awesome stuff they're doing is, quote, moving the needle. You know, whatever. I don't give a fuck about a needle. But I mean, I'm really stoked. So I think we should just jump into this right away. Yeah. Mercedes Moné officially All Elite, man. We talked about this a while ago.
We did.
A while ago. And it feels like it's a long time coming, but it's finally here. Like, so what's your vibe on all this right now?
Oh, I mean, so overall on AEW, like, this is the most interested I've ever been personally, because they're bringing in all these wrestlers that I love. And I think it helps that, like, we're coming off the period of, like, awfulness. from last year, right? So like everything that's good right now feels extra, like it's great, right? You know, the you got Ospreay and Danielson coming up, Okada and the Bucks are just incredible, and now Mercedes Moné walks in here. And to me, AEW's never, I think, reached its absolute total potential, and it's because, you know, there's always been that conversation from people, right? Oh, the women's division, but the women's division, but the women's division. I feel like that has always been like the butt of the conversation, even for like the top AEW fans. We're not going to talk about the AEW defenders. Listen, every company in the world has those, so that and that's not a shot at AEW at all. But it's always been but the women's division. Now they have the biggest possible women's star signed to their company to lead the way. And listen, I don't really care about TV ratings all that much. I don't think they matter as much anymore because streaming's so big and things like that. But I watched the video. I watched that reaction on TV. And, you know, they gave her a theme song that people can chant with her, for her.
CEO.
Superstar. That's all you could feel when you watch Mercedes Moné. And that's what that is going to bring up that division. You felt that at the beginning of the show, at the end of the show, and in the middle of the show, there was a lot of good wrestling because that's what AEW is all about.
Yeah, I agree. Like the beginning of the show, like it, and I make no bones about the fact that I feel disconnected from a lot of women's wrestling in general. Like it's just typically not my thing. Like, and I don't mind it. I don't fight about it. I don't defend it. You know, if something's good, I'll watch. If it's not great, I typically don't watch. So, I mean, like I'm kind of, you know, I'm laissez-faire about it. That beginning of the show felt enormous. There was a weight to the show this week that it's hard to compare it to like the Punk night. Cause that was special. Like that was a
10 years away.
Yeah. And I was in the building for that. So, I mean, like that felt like something. This felt different, but it also had a gravitas. It had like an enormity to it. It felt like something big. And I know that, I mean, the ratings were up. Maybe they weren't what everybody wanted it to be, but I mean, like in the moment, it felt massive. It felt like a giant star was here. So I mean, like, I think they did a good job in the moment with her. I think she felt huge. I don't know. I don't think they did a great job telling the audience, one, that she was going to be there. I think they tried to do the secret thing too much, and I think that hurt too much. Because I mean, like, I was talking to a friend of mine on Twitter the other day, and he's like, I don't think she's coming in. I'm like, she's been signed for 2 months. He's like, no, they haven't hinted at anything. I think something fell through.
That tells you all you need to know, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of tells me, and he's a little bit more casual.
Sure.
Than I am. So I mean, like, so part of me is like, man, maybe they should have made a bigger deal about this than they did, you know, because I think they did undercut themselves a little bit, and I don't think they did a good enough job selling. Like, I got the hint that she'd be back for the main event, but you know, maybe we need to WWE this sometimes and go way over the top and hit people with a tack hammer. You know, I think sometimes I think AEW might be too subtle in how they, I mean, like I said, I got that she was going to be back, but based on the fact that it was gutsy to main event Riho and Willow Nightingale. I liked that. I thought, hey, and it was a good match too.
Yeah.
But that's not a main event match typically. So I think they could have done a better job selling us that Mercedes was going to come back. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, ratings are freaking dumb anyway. So I mean, like, I thought the show was great.
Exactly. And that's all that matters. I want the show to be great, and the show is great. I think when it comes to like the way they sold Mercedes, and obviously, like, I know Dave has been talking about this at nauseam, and people have kind of got on him for it, but it is the like Paul Heyman ECW effect, right? Like, oh, we want the pop rather. Listen, she's gonna get the pop no matter what. That's the thing. You could have said Mercedes Moné is gonna debut on this very night, like, you could have said that in big bold letters, and you know what? That Boston crowd was gonna go crazy for her no matter what, because they knew, like, that Boston crowd knew. And I just think, like, to get more eyes, like you said, on the casual fan, the Mercedes Moné super fans knew too, but it's the other fans that you want to keep pulling in. And ultimately, like you said, I don't really care about ratings. The show is great. these past couple weeks, past 2 months, really, have been good to great. The pay-per-view is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That Sting main event, obviously, like, the greatest thing ever. Like, we're still feeling that. At least I am. I'm still feeling that. And in times when other wrestling may be questionable and life may be questionable, I greatly appreciate AEW and what they're doing right now. It is an all-star roster.
It really is.
It's incredible.
Like, I look back on kind of where we're at right now, and I get like 96 WCW vibes because, you know, people just keep showing up and it's like big names.
Yeah.
Right. And the shows don't feel the same. I'm not saying this was like Nitro. Like, it's not. Like, it feels like that, where just these massive stars are coming out every week. And the promotion feels revitalized from where it was like at the end of the year, because we just brought in three massive stars, you know, Kazuchika Okada, Mercedes Moné, and Will Ospreay, who's very quickly becoming the top guy in this company.
Sure, like, feels he's like it
doesn't it, like, he gets out there and people, I don't know, man, it seems like the UK fan base in particular doesn't really like him sometimes, like, and they're like, I don't think he's got
a very
it. Like
specific crew,
specific crew, yeah, I agree,
like
with
them, like, yeah, him. But it's not big enough to stop the Ospreay. Like, the fact that that has come over is incredible to me. I know it says in the song, but still, they got along with it quick.
For sure. He starts talking and he just oozes charisma. Like, he just feels like the guy right now. And this is a company that has needed a top baby face for a long, long time, right? Like, MJF tried to be that guy, and it was like half the audience was fighting with it. And, you know, said on one time, that guy, and it just, he never really wants to be the top guy. And like, there was a time I thought when Adam Cole had his comeback, I thought maybe Adam Cole can be that guy, and it just didn't quite click. Will Ospreay walks out there, he's the best professional wrestler in the world, bar none, and now he's cutting these promos and he's coming off cool, he's coming off likable, and there's just something about him that's different, and it's new, and it's really working for me right now.
I think that promo last night kind of ended any concern people may have had with him coming over to U.S. wrestling television, because it's so different from the New Japan feeling, right? We've seen him cut great promos. He's not always been consistent on promos. That is not his way, like, that is not how he makes his money. He makes his money by going out there and putting on great professional wrestling matches. But that promo last night, I was just like, oh man, this is their guy. Like, the way he cut it, the enthusiasm, the authenticity, everything he said you believed. And absolutely, that is what you need from a babyface. Him going against Danielson in his first like true program. I know he's had programs in AEW, but this is the first one he's on TV every single week, building it up. That is one, Danielson saying, hey, I want that. You're gonna give, like, you know, Tony Khan probably was like, oh, okay, here you go. The best two wrestlers in the world. Yeah, I'll put that on my show. And it's just a way to get him all the more over. I think you're absolutely right. By the time we're at All In, he is the bona fide number one babyface.
100%, especially when he gets out in the UK. As like, because again, he had few to any Dynamite experience last year, you know? And he was massive in Wembley, massive. This year, with all that extra momentum behind him, I just can't see him not being like the face of this company, you know, 6 months from now. I really can't. Like, I think they're really building something special with Ospreay. I truly, truly do. And on the flip side of it, Kazuchika Okada was a guy who would pop up and people would like love him and adore him for the longest time. Right now he's here and he's embracing my favorite Okada, the absolute dickhead Okada. Like, this is just like, he's so, and people forget how good he is at being a prick. Like, we got a little bit of it last year with the Kaito Kiyomiya stuff, and now we're just going full war this, and they put him against Eddie Kingston, like the most beloved wrestler in the company. Like, I think that this new revitalized Okada is just a great get for this company, and they did something different that I don't think a lot of people would have thought to do with Okada right away, making him like one of the top heels in the company right out the get-go. So again, this is what I'm talking about. Everything just feels new, even with guys that have kind of been around before. But again, there's new blood. There's just new life on this show. And I think it just makes for better viewing because Dynamites were hard to get through from about late September till about the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dynamite was not a fun show to watch.
That World's End show had me like questioning if I liked wrestling.
I didn't get
Mojo won the title. I was happy about that, but I was like, oh, this is not AEW.
We had a wrestling meet that night and I just didn't get it. And I was reading, I'm like, you know, I was thinking about getting the replay. I'm like, I just don't think I care. Like, and it was nice that Joe won. I caught the clips on YouTube, but I never went back and watched the show, and I have zero qualm about it. But then, as always, they come out with Revolution, and there's never been a bad Revolution show. It was fantastic.
It's their signature show. I think we just have to, like, I'm not going to say it's their WrestleMania, because listen, that's All In technically, right?
I think,
like,
it's their SummerSlam.
I think you're absolutely right. And what we can say with these three signings, right? Okada, Ospreay, is Mercedes, is that they've gotten the new face, the new top baby face of their men's division, the new top heel of their men's division, and the two new top women's face of, you know, their company, right? Like, I think that's very important, but also just incredible that you've had three people come in make such a big impact so quickly. All the while, you have the likes of a Kenny Omega not participating right now, right? And you still have all these other stars. Like, we haven't said a word about Swerve, and he's unbelievably over, right? It's like they're pressing all the right buttons right now after pressing what I thought was all the wrong buttons last year towards the end of the year. So I appreciate it.
And we didn't mention Hangman Page, who's going through his 97 Bret Hart era right now.
Yes.
Like, we had this awesome double turn, kind of a double turn. It had been building, much like Austin Hart. Like, it had been building for a while, but now it's official. Like, where Swerve is a beloved baby face, and Hangman, like, he's out there really trying to be a dastardly heel at this point. And we've got this world champion that's, I guess you'd call him a tweener, because he's not quite a baby, because people love him. But he's not like a baby face, and he's not really a heel. He doesn't, like, he's kind of a dick, but he's just Joe. Like,
he's just a badass.
Yeah, this is just Joe. This is what Joe is. And what I've liked about AEW from Jump is that you don't have to necessarily fit into this baby face heel lock. Like, yeah. I do like when we have some shades of gray. I do like
a lot like Japan.
That's just what I was going to say. Like, I think that's what makes Japan really cool, is that, you know, you can have two baby, quote unquote, baby faces have a blood feud with each other, and people just respect them for who they are. And yep. Like, what I really like about what's going on right now in this, you know, it's funny. I put something on my Facebook page today, because I said a couple months ago, I went semi-viral on Twitter for going on to like a ridiculous tirade about, you know, media hypocrisy, and I was talking about wrestling media, and I got like a 10,000 likes and 100 retweets. And then I say on Twitter, hey, don't be afraid to tell the people in your life that you love them. I got 3 likes for that. So I'm like, this freaking platform is just poison. But like, I was trying to say, is like, I was getting circling around to this old cheese boy, old Alfred, was like, oh, they couldn't come up with any kind of a storyline for Ospreay and Danielson. Can't Ospreay kick his dog or try to flirt with Brie Bella? And I'm like, God damn it, dude. No, that's not what the AEW fan base wants. They're like, oh, all they can do is who's the best wrestler? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly what I want to see.
I do this with Mike on time. I'll do it with you. I've never done this with you before. A story, right? And I'm going to get literary here for you for a moment. A story. This is Robert McKee's definition of a story. You have a protagonist. You have a main character who has a goal. Something is standing in the way of him achieving his goal. When he reaches the goal, whether success or failure, he is changed. That is the literal definition of a story. And professional wrestling is the easiest venue with which to tell the story. Mike Gilbert, glad to see you're back. Cheese boy, you know me. Like, and it's so easy to do it in wrestling. And look, we've got this. We've got two guys. We've got two alphas that truly believe they are the best professional wrestlers in the world. And they are going to prove it. I don't need Will Ospreay kicking his dog. I don't need Brie Bella or Brie Garcia to get involved in this. I just want these two guys that want to beat each other up. That's all I need. That's all I want. And again, I'm the guy who has the freaking media degree. I'm the guy who writes the books. I just want wrestling to be wrestling. Is that such a bad thing?
No, no, it's actually the best thing, I'd argue, to me. Like, like the reason I love wrestling, and oftentimes my favorite wrestling has come from Japanese promotions, but AEW is capturing that so much, right? Some of the best and most storied rivalries of the past decade are Okada and Omega. There was no heel and babyface in that. There was, the story was who's the best, mm-hmm. right? The you know, the final boss Okada versus Kenny Omega. You have, you know, obviously Okada and Tanahashi. You have Ospreay and Omega just this past year, right? You have Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson. Like, these matches are the matches that get talked about the most because it's not about story, it's about being the best. And sometimes that is the best story. It is a story. As much as these people don't want to admit it, it's a story. And when you have it as Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, I don't want anything else but who's the best.
It doesn't need anything. It doesn't need the bells and whistles. It doesn't need the accoutrement. It just needs to be professional wrestling. And that, and again, if WWE needs to be this, and they've always been that company that does that kind of stuff, because they don't lean into the athletic aspect of wrestling. They never have. It's the company DNA. I think what really hurt AEW in 2023 was them trying to emulate that WWE style of storytelling. And it isolated a lot of fans of that product, myself included. Like, I had a real hard time getting back into AEW at the beginning of this year because I had fallen so far out of favor with it. Like, I'm watching every week because I have the show, but I'm playing with my phone. I'm disengaged for the most part. Right, for a lot of it, it was real hard for me to get involved, and it took a lot of poking and prodding to kind of get me back into it. Right, and now I'm back. I'm ready. I don't want them. I watch AEW because I don't like WWE. I used to watch New Japan because I don't like WWE. I don't like the way they tell their stories. Mm-hmm. Not crazy about the way New Japan's doing it right now either. But I don't like. I want for the longest time, I wanted an American promotion that was just different. And we get that. And I know they're on the right path because every time someone says something good about them, 1,000 Roman Reigns AVIs on Twitter have to talk about how it's not working.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, yes, yes. Now I know that it works because you don't like it.
Yeah.
That's how I know it's a success.
That's when you know they are the different promotion now. It's what they were originally. It's what they were in 2021, which many people consider their heyday at, you know, in their first few years. And now it's exactly what they are again right now. And you really see it, how much people hate the idea of AEW from the WWE side when Mercedes walked in the door last night. Like, it gets nasty when that woman is involved, which is crazy to me. And it's ultimately because she picked them over WWE. That's just where it is. Ospreay did too. Okada too. And then they start to talk down these wrestlers, right? They're like, oh, you know what? She's actually not that good. Mm-hmm. She actually isn't, you know, all that great. We're fine here. And it's like unbelievable. But it's also very believable because if you've been a wrestling fan for more than a year, you know how this goes.
It reminds me, I work in a high school. It reminds me of a very high school mentality from males in particular, where you've got a thing for a girl and she doesn't like you. She likes somebody else. And I'm going to use vernacular here. Your attitude is, well, fuck that bitch. She ugly. Like, it's that whole mentality where you feel slighted. You feel like you've been done wrong. So your instinct is to lash back at them. No, it's their problem.
Right.
And that's kind of what, and it's weird that people do this with wrestling. It's weird when they do it for themselves, but it's super weird when fans do this for wrestling companies. Like, I see this, like Dave's a saint. Like, I've often joked that when I die and go to hell, I'm going to be stuck in Dave Meltzer's Twitter mentions for the rest of eternity. Like, That's what it is. Like, he's got so many people, you're just so biased against AEW. I'm like, do you read or listen to a word this man writes? Like, but like the Eric Bischoffs of the world have convinced them of this. And then I read these things, and like just today I I'm gonna be better, but I'm not better. I'm a shallow person. I'm like, I retweeted someone. I'm like, did you know WWE fans are the most persecuted fans in the world? How do these people get through the day? Like, it's just, I'm astounded how slight these people, they cheer. It's like people who cheer the Yankees, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you support the strongest product out there, and you act like the world is against you all the time. It just, it's such a mind boggling state of affairs that just, yeah. I have a hard time processing it.
Yeah. I think the Yankees comparison is very good. I'm from Boston area. So, you know,
so that works.
I'm definitely going to agree with you. But it is that like mentality of like us versus everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it's just so lame. It's like,
oh God. Yeah.
How are you a wrestling fan if like you just sit there the whole time and like, you're just angry about everything. Like, I don't get it. Why are you a fan? You know, like, I hated not enjoying AEW at the end of last year. I know you too. Did too. I listened to this show.
You could tell.
Yeah, like, it's not what we're here to do. We're here to praise the product because that's what we want to do, because we want to enjoy watching the show. It's why we spend 2 hours every Wednesday night watching Dynamite, right? And listen, I'm not telling any WWE fan to stop doing that on their own show. They have a lot more hours to watch, you know. Take your time, and you know, you have The Rock and all this stuff. If you can look past what's happening, you know, go ahead.
More power to you.
But like, I'm not here to like, I'm not one that's gonna be like, oh, you know, you're a WWE fan. You know, I'm not gonna be the one that's like, Okada picked AEW over WWE. That's not what I'm gonna do either. I'm just happy that he's in the company that I want him to be in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cheer for him, and I'm going to enjoy his what he's doing. You know, like, that's it at the end of the day. I don't care that he didn't end up in WWE. I care that he ended up here.
I'm super stoked they didn't end up in WWE. I thought I've seen way too many that go the other way. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I get it. It's sports fan mentality. Like, I've seen this with over the years a lot. What I don't understand is, like, you're talking about like being angry at your fandom. And I saw this from comics for a long time, and I see it here in wrestling. And like, I don't understand hating your hobby. Like, I'll never understand that. Like, when I got upset with what was going on, and when I was reading a book, I was like, oh, I guess I'm just done with this. Or like when I stopped watching WWE, not because I got super angry.
It's a big Star Wars thing, isn't it? Like, don't Star Wars fans famously hate Star Wars.
Let's talk Star Wars fans. Star Wars fans, it all depends on when you became a fan. Like, if you love the stuff that you love, that you grew up with.
Yeah.
If you're my age, you love the original trilogy. Of course. You're younger than me, you love the prequels, you know, and I guess there's people out there that like the sequel trilogy. But I mean, like, and anything that's outside of your purview is awful.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And like, Star Wars fans are just like, they're weird because they like the same shit, but they hate the same shit, and they hate different parts of the same shit. Like, it's an odd fan. It's an odd fan base.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling fans, like comic fans and wrestling fans, are very similar. Like, where they'll just keep watching the thing that they hate.
Yeah.
And like, we saw that with WWE before AEW came around, where so many people hate watched WWE and talked. And I couldn't be one of those guys. And I didn't leave WWE fandom for hatred. I left it because I was just ambivalent to it. I grew cold to it, and I just got tired of it. And I felt myself slip in there with AEW in 2023. I felt it coming for a long time. And I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for this show and with Mike, I probably would have stopped watching wrestling about month 8 of MJF.
Mm-hmm.
I got so over that. But again, I stuck with it because we got a pod. But I mean, like, I don't... This is the Mike and JD show because I got tired of Impact's bullshit. Like, I don't like to hate watch stuff.
Right.
I don't understand how people can just watch a product that they hate. And what I'll say is that since AEW has come, we see a lot less of that.
Yeah.
We see a lot less hate watching. We see a lot more people that are defending their product to the mountaintops and almost like refuse to accept any criticism on either side.
Yeah.
Right. WWE is like, you know, Jesus walks on water over there, and AEW, it's like, well, yes, this is where John the Baptist has christened people in the Lake of Jacksonville. Like, it's like, it's like, you know, there's some room for some, like, you know, some general criticism and like, hey, this could be better in some spots, but I don't know, man. It's just, it's so, I almost find the examination of the fan bases as interesting, if not more interesting than what's going on in the ring sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I find it terrifying. If you go too deep, it's like, what is going on here?
That's what's going on.
And it's why I brought up Mercedes, because I remember vividly last year, right? When she didn't.
I forgot Josiah's going to be upset with me. Sorry, Josiah.
When Mercedes didn't show up in AEW right on that Los Angeles show. Because remember, that was like the big hype. Like, oh, she's going to be on the show. She's going to be on the show. And then she wasn't. I remember seeing a lot of hate.
Tons.
Mercedes Monet.
Tons.
Look where we are now. Right? Yeah. It's just the reverse. And it's, you know.
Oh, dude. If the pretty girl rejects you, she's a bitch. But if she's on your arm, she's the greatest thing in the whole world.
See? And then someone like me, I technically won either way because she was in Japan last year. And I was getting to watch that. So I won, you know, and I continue to win because I'm a fan of her.
Of wrestling. That's the thing that I never understand is that people like, if you're like, I can't watch WWE because I'm having moral problems right now. And I've made it. Those feelings
very fair.
Clear. Like I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
Is the product better than it was 2 years ago? I can't deny that. I can't be a fan of it. I just can't do it. But when wrestling is good, wrestling is great. Like I remember being a kid and when ECW was kind of good, it wasn't as good as I remember it was back then actually. And when WCW was firing and like when wrestling is fun, it's good to watch, right? All of it. It's good to imbibe stuff. Like the late 80s or the mid 80s is still one of my favorite times in pro wrestling because there's so much good stuff going on, right? So much cool things. And like we get there again and like people fight about it. It's just so awkward. So Scott, I'm going to redirect this. Scott, Stardom's got a new president and he visited big business this week. Tell me a little bit about what's going on from the Stardom side of things.
Well, it's happening. The conversations for the past couple of years surrounding Forbidden Door, you know, no Stardom talent on these shows, no Stardom talent on these shows. It's coming now. And I think a lot has gone into this happening. I know a lot of people want to look at one thing and one thing only that happened at the beginning of February, which was Rossi Ogawa getting, you know, let go from the company. But there's a lot that has been put into motion to make this happen. But I want to bring up that it is not a coincidence that this is happening the night Mercedes Moné is debuting in this company. Like, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, all right, well, this is not a coincidence. This is not how coincidences happen. You know, like, she is someone who has been very clear she wants to wrestle the best. And she went to Japan to do that. Something that not really anyone, especially her star power, has been willing to do. We haven't seen that. What's the biggest men's star we've seen do that? Dolph Ziggler? Oh, John Moxley, that's right. That's very fair. I forgot he did the G1, and that was great. Okay, besides John, so it's
just
John Moxley.
Guy. It's just him.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, right? And I think that says it all. Like, this is a big thing. And in terms of women's wrestling, New Japan, at least when Moxley went there, was still pretty popular, I'd say. Mm-hmm. You know, like, 2019 was still their hot phase. Stardom's very popular in Japan, and it's popular amongst like very, you know, compared to New Japan when Moxie went, very small. But she went there and she wrestled on their shows and she did all that, right? And she was gonna do more, but you know, she got hurt. That meant there was like so much untapped potential, and this was inevitably gonna happen. Stardom AEW. I've said it, I continue to say it. Last year didn't work out. The year before that didn't work out. Last year was the first year I think we had a real chance of it happening, but they had a pay-per-view booked on that same day. And I've seen people say, well, why didn't they send someone? because they booked people for their pay-per-view in Japan
that they had to sell.
That they had to sell that was already booked, right? Like, that is the big thing. And now it makes all the sense. You know, the original president, who Harada, who, you know, Dave wrote a lot about in he did it in the newsletter and then a separate post when Rossi was let go. He's gone, and he was a big reason for a lot of problems. Like, no matter what we want to talk about with Rossi, he's a big reason for a lot of problems. And this new guy, Taro Okada, seems more connected. He works for both New Japan and Stardom. I don't know how many people know that. He's actually on the new Stardom, the new New Japan board as well. He's one of the people under Tanahashi, I believe. So there is actual synergy there for the first time ever. And I don't know if people know that. But it's finally happening. It's exciting. You know, it should be exciting to a lot of people. I know a lot of AEW fans are like, oh man, you know, Joshi fans are going to hate this. And, you know, there are going to be some that hate this, just like there's, you know, AEW, you know, the New Japan fans hated when AEW started work. That's just natural, but it was always going to happen. And now it is.
My question to you, though, is, like, is it too little too late? Like, I know Rossi's gone, and, like, I know there's going to be talent that's loyal to him. I think Julie has already said that she goes where he goes. Like, is this too little too late for it to make a difference?
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm going to say yes and no.
Go ahead.
And there's a reason for this. Yes, because it should have already happened. It should have happened at the last Forbidden Door. It should have happened when Julie was signed to this company. Because ultimately, the reality is she was the biggest star. Right? She was the one that made the most sense to appear on AEW television. And we've heard the rumors through the past couple months that Tony Khan's not all that interested in her. AEW's not interested in her. So on and so forth. Whatever. But the reason I'm going to say no is because Forbidden Door is going to need Stardom. Now, you know, like, New Japan doesn't have Okada. New Japan doesn't have Ospreay. New Japan's top star right now isn't all that interested in working in the U.S. all that much. You know, Tetsuya Naito's not clamoring to come to the U.S. And after that, who are you excited to see in New Japan?
Oh, nobody, actually.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So if you're going to keep running Forbidden Door, you need more involvement. There you go. I think that does it all right there. I'd probably say Shingo, truthfully.
Cause I love Shingo, yes.
He's never done anything at the Forbidden Doors, but, like, that's my point. There's no natural answer. So Forbidden Door needs Stardom. Forbidden Door needs CMLL. Forbidden Door needs all this involvement on this one show to try and recapture the importance. And ultimately, the Forbidden Door show should be the biggest interpromotional show in professional wrestling. Yeah. That's how I've always felt about it. So that's why I say no. The reason I say yes is because I think the peak of excitement for a Stardom AEW connection was probably last year.
So I guess this year, looking at Forbidden Door, who is the biggest star, foreign star on that show? Is it Mystico at this point?
Oh yeah, it has to be.
Right, it has to be.
Yeah, it's Mystico or Naito.
Asked, yeah,
and that's assuming Naito's on it.
Maybe, it depends. I mean, who knows? Let's be honest. I got tickets in a couple weeks. I think there's a more than good chance that Naito is not the IWGP champion. I think there's a legit chance that Jon Moxley wins the IWGP title in Chicago.
Based on his involvement in AEW right now, I wouldn't be shocked.
That's kind of
the least we've seen.
it's kind of why I'm thinking that, like, Moxley has never been like less involved in the day to day right now. And it feels like a bucket list thing that he could check off. And it feels like the New Japan product is super cold right now. It really is.
All that's hot is Naito.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So like, if you were to get a, I think a Gaijin champion could actually help. Could actually help do something right now. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass, but I think there's more than a decent possibility. Because if you take the title off of Naito at and the Chicago show, you could build a rematch for the door. Like yeah. You could. Very like so I'm just, so. I do think there's a decent chance, you know, that Mox is the IWGP World Champion down the line. So I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's time right now where I feel like I don't kind of know where New Japan is going with anything, and a lot of it is because I'm just, honest to God, not interested in a lot of things. Like, aren't we in the middle of the New Japan Cup right now, and I don't hear anybody talking about it?
Yeah, because there's just so little interest, if any. You know, it's like there's none. I think you have a very good idea. I think.
Oh, thank you.
I think Moxley taking it for a short run and losing it back at Dominion is a win-win, you know, because obviously Naito is the biggest star in Japan. I'm not going to say New Japan. He's the biggest star in Japan. And
sure.
He's been that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, him overcoming the invading guy who's never, like, Moxley has been pinned, like, once in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's big. And if he's willing to go there, have maybe one defense between now, and he could defend at Dominion, because I think Dominion's before Forbidden Door, if my math is checking off. It is, because it's the 9th usually. And then he goes to Forbidden Door and you can defend it against Naito. That means you have a big main event for that show that people will be willing to see, because the last time people saw it, Jon Moxley took the title. I think it's a great idea. And I like your idea.
Well, and
it's
thank
something
you.
That at least makes some interest in New Japan when they really need it.
Well, actually, in the Chicago show has, it's moving tickets in Chicago.
That's true.
Like there are tickets being sold. There is interest in this show, much bigger than a typical New Japan in America show. Here's how I know my idea is good. John Muse has just sent the message that I've been on the IWGP title win for Mox since the announcement of Naito versus Moxley. If John Muse says it, I know it's a good one. He also says you could retain the Dominion and then defend at the door.
Yeah.
I think that's there too. I also think the Naito character tends to work better when he's got a little bit of his chip on his shoulder, when mm-hmm. he's like the underdog who's constantly being screwed over by the man. That's what made Naito work, is when Okada was the golden boy and Naito is just kind of like the other guy, kind of, you know, like he has the leisure suit, but he's kind of grubby, you know, but there's just something like kind of dirty and lovable about Naito. Like he's mm-hmm. just like, he's really the man of the people type of character.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of a character can only work on top for so long without needing a little refresh or something to overcome. Like we talk about that hero struggle, right? The hero journey. You need to overcome something. Like, an invading Gaijin who's stolen your title, it would be a good one. And it's been a while since we've had a true outsider with the IWGP title. Like even, I look back on the Gaijin that have had it, Kenny and AJ and Ospreay. Those were all New Japan, like, full-time guys. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since somebody from the outside has won that title. And they've always done, like, that's an old-school New Japan storyline of someone from the outside taking the title. Like, I look back on, like, Angle or Lesnar or, like, even before that.
They've done it with Naito before.
They have.
With the IC title, though. They had Jericho beat him for it.
That's true. Like, I'm going back into the 90s, and I know they've had storylines where guys, I'm drawing a blank at the moment because it's almost midnight here, like, you know, or like when they had the famous feud with Muto and Takada, right? Like, Invader storylines are part of New Japan's heritage, and it's been a while since we've had something like that. And I'm curious. King of the North, here to make sure JD hasn't lost his mind and Scott kept us standing. No, I've been good, man. I've been, I'm on a down cycle today, so I haven't gone nuts on anybody, but I appreciate your concern. I like it every week. He also says, also checking to make sure that Mike still thinks TNA is number two in the USA.
Bob Sapp. That's a great one. King and Rook called out Bob Sapp. That's the perfect example. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, Mike's good, man. He. I love Mike is like my brother. I love the man dearly, but even he is aware that TNA is not the number two promotion in America at the moment. Yeah. So appreciate you. Mike says $1.99.
That's the best. To go with your idea, now that you've said it, and I've sat here and thought about it.
Please.
Moxie wins at Windy City.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Dominion, defends against Shota Umino. That helps make Shota Umino, because that is the story of Shota Umino, is that man. And then, you know, he can lose in a valiant...
Mike says TNA will be the number two company when Julia signs there.
I love the spirit. He still tags me in certain things, like Julia's going to TNA, and I just
Mike
gets me every time.
Mike is the greatest Twitter troll of all time, and I adore him for it. He's so good at it. It comes so natural to him.
It's an impressive trait. I will give you that.
It's like second nature. No, I can't. I'm like, we have Mike and I have such different Twitter personas. Like Mike just like trolls and just throws it out there and is perfectly willing to leave it alone. And I will beat my point to freaking death until I have subdued and submitted my opponent. Like
Mike had the greatest tweet ever, like last week or something, when Sean Spears or some who I don't remember who it was, but he's like, "Take that, Tony," and like everyone was freaking out, taking him serious.
We were talking about that last week. I cannot remember who it was either. I'm sure Mike will tell us in the chat at some point. But yeah, he just total troll move, and people just fucking buy right into it.
Oh my
King of the North also says JD had the sex trafficking defenders attack him. I did, actually. I did. I had a bunch of sex trafficking defenders telling me that if people there got, I actually had a guy tell me that you just want the company to close down and you want hundreds of people to lose their jobs. And I part of me went, Philip Morris is evil, and I wouldn't mind if they closed down. But I mean, like, I'm like, no, I don't. I just want the people who knew. I just want the people who knew to have to pay some type of retribution in the world. But like, it has to be a battle of absolutes, and it just drives me nuts. Because, yeah, he did do eat shit Tony Khan or something. Mike,
I can't remember who it was though.
JD and a different guy than Mike tonight. How you doing, fellas? This is Scott E. Wrestling, David Hadley. This is like one of the greatest Joshi talkers. I don't know. Minds? Like, you know, prognosticators? I don't know how to pronounce.
I actually liked being a different guy from Mike. I think that's actually a great nickname.
I think it should be your Twitter.
Next time I'm on this show, I'm changing my little thing to a different guy than Mike.
Scotty's great, man. That's why he's on the show, and I got my chance to ask somebody. You were praising my idea again and expanding on it. Please continue, sir.
So you do the Shota Umino match, right? Because all these people are talking about like, oh, they don't have stars, they haven't raised anyone up. Okay, well, Shota Umino can lose to John Moxley in a valiant effort against his mentor of sorts, right? Have this tremendous match in the second biggest show of their year. And then you set up the Naito rematch at Forbidden Door. Easy. Done.
Like, and that's such a New Japan story, too. Because you have to, it's New Japan, with the exception of Okada, New Japan is not a company where you just walk in and, like, you know, you become a guy immediately. Like, they make you earn, they make you build. For Shooter, that would be a great beat in his story.
Yeah.
That is storytelling in wrestling, God damn it. Like, you don't have to kick someone's dog. You can fight your mentor.
I recommend never kicking someone's dog, personally.
Especially Brian Danielson. He might fuck you up if you kicked his dog, quite frankly.
That's true. Or, like, fine you, you know, because he can
Yes, he would probably fine you. Gene Blast putting Moxley down for the belt. That'd be good, man.
If they had an Umino or Tsuji beat Moxley for the belt, you know what? That'd do pretty well for them too.
I honest to God, that would actually, for one of the young guys to do that, because for about a year now, we've been talking about how New Japan has to actually like pull the trigger on one of these Musketeers, right? You tell us, then you're gonna wind up in a pillar.
It has to be one of those two, by the way.
I agree with you.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
The other two, not so much.
Yeah. Like, you got to pull the trigger at some point, and having them beat John Moxley, a guy who has been pretty well protected in this company, a guy who is an international star, immediately says this is a dude, like when Okada beat Tanahashi. Yep. Kind of out of nowhere, and everybody went, holy shit, Okada's the champ. Like, I think it'd be a good move, man. I really think it'd be a good move. Yeah. The Bucks tried that already, JD. I don't know what that's in reference to. I made a joke and I can't remember which one it was. You have to explain King of the North. David Hadley, do you foresee the new Elite versus Chaos being at Forbidden Door? Oh, that'd be kind of cool, actually.
So it'd be like Goto, Yoshihashi, and Ishii?
Sure.
I mean, that'd be a good match.
Yeah, but I gotta be honest with you. I think I want to see something bigger from those three at Forbidden Door. What that is at this point, I don't know. Honest to God, give me like Mystico, Volador, and like Mascara Dorada. Give me that for those three guys at Forbidden Door. Wouldn't that be awesome after I just said that?
Yeah, it would be awesome. I want how do I get a Mystico Forbidden Door main event?
Oh shit, speak that into existence.
I'm talking about a guy that doesn't lose, by the way.
I was like, do you want Mystico in the main event of Forbidden Door? You know,
I love Mystico, so yes.
I mean, like, it would be very hard to book around that situation. You know what would be I do want to see that, actually. I do want to see that. Mystico
versus Will Ospreay.
Oh shit. I mean, you can't have it. The match would be awesome. It would be like you'd have to do the schmaziest lucha finish ever to get out of that, but like the 25-30 minutes before the shitty ending would be amazing. Our buddy Io says Naito says he wants to make sure Okada regrets taking that AEW deal. Well, good luck with that.
Naito is just being yen. Why? Yeah, he won't.
Naito is just being Naito. He's being the company guy, good soldier. He knows, they all know how much Okada's getting paid. King of the North, imagine Kurt and Okada ripping off Luchador's masks. Fucking A, would that be awesome? It'd be fucking awesome. Let's speak this into reality.
Kurt Okada is, like you said, what we saw at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
Mixed with his original Rainmaker personality, and it's just perfect.
It is. I love that it's an evolution of it. He's not just going back and playing the hits. Like, he's actually like creating a new version of the character. Like I really like last night when he made Marvez sing Happy Birthday. Like, his English isn't great, but it was just good enough to make that really work. And you saw the look of disdain and bulliness on him. Like, it was great. He's been in this company for 2 weeks and it's been freaking awesome. Like, everything he's done, because he's an amazing professional wrestler who has a remarkably expressive face. People never talk about Okada's facial expressions enough. Like, the man does such an amazing job just telling a story with his face. Like, it is absolutely incredible. I can't wait to see. And again, what I like about this is challenging him. This is why he came here. He's doing something new. Like, he's not just playing this. Let's be honest. What's the last really interesting thing Okada's done in New Japan? Remember Long Pants Ura Okada, who's like, I think I lost it. Yeah. I think I've lost that. I think I suck now.
It's the Kaito thing. And then that. Right? Yeah. And the Kaito thing's a little different because it's not just New Japan. Yeah, I mean, the Okada thing, where the whole presentation, right? It's the entrance too. It's him walking in with the Cody elevator after they bring the coin out and flip it. It's like the most over the top. Like, are you kidding me? But it's so good, and so that's when wrestling's at its best.
Yes, over the top and stupid, but that's what makes it awesome at the same time. I've just loved everything about the Kazuchika Okada presentation since he's gotten here. I think this putting him in the Elite is just a great idea. Like, excuse me, the Elite had lost its luster for a long time. The best of seven thing from a year or so ago was really fun, but this is like, it's a breath of fresh air. It's a new coat of tires. It's fresh paint. You know, it's all that cliches you want to throw on there. And it's working really, really well right now. I'm very happy with it. Where it goes, I'm not sure, but I think we're going to get that Continental belt on top of Okada. I'm okay with it.
Me and one of my friends We made the joke that when Okada was going to go to AEW, we're like, he's going to be the greatest trios wrestler ever because he's just going to do trios matches until pay-per-views. And we're right.
Isn't that
been pretty good?
But isn't that New Japan booking in between? Like,
yes, that's
you the just do tags. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's perfect. You but just the do tags
are, it feels like the tags are extra good. Like that. The did you watch the Collision one?
I did. Where he just did the whole match, and the Bucks are watching, and he beat the shit out of everybody.
He's like, that's greatest. Awesome. Oh,
he's
man.
So great. And you know what's awesome too? Here's what I fucking love about this: is we've already set up Kenny Omega's return. Right, because the story of Kenny, this is, we're talking about stories in pro wrestling.
There's no bigger Kenny, match.
Oh no, the story of Kenny Omega was he's this wrestler who comes to Japan to find himself, and he does, and he reinvents himself and becomes a man that he really isn't as the cleaner, and he gets really good. But no matter how good he is, he just can't beat Okada. No. And it becomes like this Ahab-like obsession until he finally does, and then it's time for him to go, right? And now the shoe is on the other foot, right? Now Okada's here. And now Kenny's on the comeback. And can this version of Kenny, can he finally truly beat Okada? Like, it just, it's so easy. It's so damn easy. Again, I don't need a dog to get kicked. I don't need someone's girlfriend involved. I just need this.
Yeah. When you can work off history like this, and obviously it is... reaching to a certain part of your audience because not everyone has seen the Omega Okada thing. Hey, you know what? I don't care. Go watch the matches. They're pretty good.
Here's what you can do though. Here's what I think that AEW doesn't do enough. And I think they're actually the best at this. They do video packages better than WWE does. They can educate the audience. All you gotta do is have Kenny sit down and tell that story. And you have access to the footage. You can show that 60-minute class. You can show those Wrestle Kingdoms. You can show all of it. You can show Kenny losing. And then you just show him finally winning and coming to AEW because that was the story, right? Yeah. And then you just tell us it in 3 minutes. And everybody's going to go, oh, okay, I get it. That's what WWE does every freaking pay-per-view. They spend 20 minutes with these big-ass elaborate packages. Do it in 3, and you'll have that story. And everybody who didn't see it will get it, and they'll be on freaking board.
But again, you should watch it. I can't stress.
Oh, that. Yeah, 100%. No, don't. I'm not telling you, don't watch it. It's the best series of matches in professional wrestling in the new century, if not history.
4 matches, all the stars, if those matter to you. It's incredible. And they've set it up for one of their biggest shows of the year. We're not going to assume, but that's the beauty of it, right? Because one day, unexpectedly, Kenny's gonna have enough. He's gonna show up. He's gonna fight Kazuchika Okada, and we're gonna add another chapter. This is why AEW is so exciting right now.
Mm-hmm. God, I hope it's Wembley. I mean, Wembley. I just hope it's. I hope it. Diverticulitis is a tricky thing. So I mean, you just got to be patient a little bit. But someday, man, Okada's gonna be a real prick, and we're gonna hear battle cry. And the crowd's going to go apeshit, and Kenny's going to walk out there, and it's going to be massive, right? Because you have that history, because Kenny is so synonymous with this promotion now, and you're letting Okada, they're truly building Okada, right? This trio shit, it's trios, but it's all Okada. These are handicap matches, essentially, right? Matt and Nick are just, you know, having fun, and Okada's like,
they're bumping
over them. Yeah, they're bumping because they're the best bump. They're so good at bumping and feeding. They're great at it. But like Okada's out there really educating the American fan base as to what he is about and what he is about in this incarnation. And goddamn if it's not firing on all cylinders.
You know, people like to say that, like saying like he's him. That is literally Okada. Like every time he steps in the ring, he is the guy that like everyone has heard about. Every single time, like that star power, it's just so natural for him. And I do want to give credit to the Young Bucks. This is the most interested I've been in them
years
in a very long time.
I agree 100%. This heel turn for them has been great. They're so good at this version of themselves. Like, and they've needed a refresh for quite some time too. So I mean, like, I'm happy right now with how everything's going. And eventually, we're gonna get another Ospreay Okada match, and the dynamic. Their dynamic is completely different in this company than it was in New Japan.
So when we see them wrestle again, it's going to be brand new.
It's going to be pretty much biggest baby face versus biggest heel by then.
You know, I would not be surprised at all.
That's how this is working. I mean, Swerve is very interesting in all this because we're talking about all these guys. Well, I watched that show yesterday and Swerve got this incredibly loud pop when he walked down to the ring. Swerve and Ospreay's your big,
I think that's
all the in match. Yeah.
I think that's the Wembley main event. I think Swerve gets that belt off Joe. And I think you build, don't rush it. You build to Swerve versus Ospreay.
You know who we're not talking about that's not needed in this company anymore?
Max.
I
thought that today when I was going to the gym. I thought, you know, if he never came back, I don't think I care.
Tony has remorse of re-signing him?
No, because I think he'd rather have him. Because, you know, I think Tony has remorse about Cody leaving because Cody is the biggest. I think Cody, as much as we love this, Cody's the biggest star in professional wrestling right now. Mm-hmm. And that would not have happened. Oh, I don't see how you can't like Cody. Cody's awesome. That wouldn't have happened if he stayed in AEW. He just kind of, the companies like grew apart. And that happens sometimes. I think a lot of these AEW day oneers, who haven't like evolved or have been kind of stuck are in a position now where they got to put up or shut up. Like, just the fact that you've been around here doesn't mean anything. Like, Sammy Guevara, like, you hadn't improved, right? Like, there's guys in this company that need to, like...
Chris Jericho.
Like, Chris Jericho is, like, I can't...
He feels forced right now.
He does right now. I think he needs a break, to be quite honest with you. I think they need to pull back on Jericho a little bit because he doesn't mean anything anymore in this company. And there's so many more interesting people. Like, we all want to see Takeshita take another step forward. We all want to see Hobbs take another step forward. This is the most stacked company in the world right now. I think it's deeper than just about anybody ever. Like, this is up there, like I said, with Crockett 85. This is up there with WWF in 89. The level, like WWF, WWE 2002. Like, the level of talent in this company at this moment is ridiculous. And, like, you have to have that A fucking game to be on. And, like, these guys who we have wanted to be something might not. Like Jack Perry, I don't care if he ever comes back. I don't.
Me either.
I mean, we got Nick Wayne, who's 18 years old and is only going to get better. The main event next week is going to be Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. And I can't fucking wait to see 250-year-old men beat the shit out of each other in an I Quit match because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we are with this company. It is so freaking loaded.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, you have that next week. You also have Kingston and Okada next week. They loaded that show up.
They really did.
Did I miss something? There's a reason?
I think they had to sell. I think they're trying to sell some seats in Toronto because ticket sales have sucked for a while. The show is good. The pay-per-views are great. They're not selling enough tickets. And you could say the ratings thing is stupid. Like, ratings tickets bow and move, and it's like it is what it is every week. It's very much a weird thing. Ticket sales are not great. And I think that all comes back to the fact you have to win back your ticket buyer's trust because one, you don't tell people who's going to be on these shows. You don't give people a reason to go to the shows. Just, hey, Dynamite is in town isn't enough for most ticket buyers. You have to educate the fan base into what they're going to see. And they struggle to do that. So they got to be better. So I'm happy that the Toronto show looks loaded because they need to be better about this. Right. Yeah, it keeps your booking honest too. Like, you have to build your shows. You can't just hotshot shit. They do that too much.
They learned the hard way last time they did a Canada tour. That was rough. And I'm really hoping with them that when the new TV deal comes around, whenever that is, of course, that this roster is so stacked, right? We're talking about this on and on and on. And I hope that Collision can somehow be on a different night because between Collision and Rampage, it just feels like you have two shows that are just kind of there. And I like Collision because Collision's where, you know, Collision's for the real, the hardcore, I want to go see Bryan Danielson wrestle Jun Akiyama, for example. Right. And I love that. But I want more people to see it. You know, I want more people to enjoy this with me type
thing. I like Collision, but Collision's a hard watch for me. I'm a dad. I'm a busy guy. Like, I'm always doing something. And it's it's hard for me to go back and watch sometimes. I'm hoping for this Max deal or for this evolution of sports television they're talking about where all these things come together. So it's just easier for me to watch it. Because even like on TBS, even on TBS, if I want to watch the app, I got to wait 24 hours till it's all access, right? And it's hard. Like, I need something. It's just tricky. So
that has to be the only show that does that. Because like, even WWE, they're on Hulu quickly, I'm sure.
It's hard, man.
I mean, I have no idea. I'm sure they're up within a few hours when they
And they need to be like the TBS and TNT apps kind of suck to be honest with you to begin with. Like they need to.
I need them on Max.
I agree. They need them on Max, or they keep talking about this all encompassing ESPN, this humongous sports package deal. Like I need it on something. I need it more accessible to me because I'm a selfish piece of shit who wants this stuff right now.
Yeah, because I know I know what a lot of people do, and it's the fight thing, right? The AEW Plus, and you jump through the hoop of the VPN, you jump through the... Not everyone wants to do that. Many people want to do that, you know? It's just like... And it's not really easily on your TV, so that part sucks. I like to watch wrestling on my television when I
get... Me too.
You know?
Dude, I am in my 40s. I watch wrestling on TV. I have done it that way since the early 90s, and God damn it, it's going to stay that way because I became too old to change now. So,
I mean, I've watched it since the 2000s, and I feel that same way, if that helps.
It doesn't, but I appreciate the effort.
You're welcome.
Actually, I appreciate the effort very, very much. We've been kicking for an hour plus now. I still got a school in the morning. So I want you, Scott, tell us where they can tell people here where they can find you. Tell us all the fight for and all the awesome stuff you're involved with.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter/X, whatever you prefer to call it. I still call it Twitter personally.
But, Twitter, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right here on Voices of Wrestling. I do previews and features about Stardom here. I also do the 5-star Joe show over on the Fight Game Media Network. You can type that into any podcast site app and you will find it, whether you type Fight Game Media Network or 5-star Joe's show that drops every Friday. A new episode coming out tomorrow after an exciting week. I did not talk about the AEW stuff because I recorded on Wednesday and didn't feel like doing more. So this was my first time getting to talk about that. So look at that. So I'll hopefully talk about it more next week and as we see more happen. But those are the best places to follow me or find me. I also do work for Fightful as well. I'm a little bit here, there, and everywhere. It's been a little quiet lately. I've just kind of been like down the dumps about my content, but we push on. We keep going, you know?
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We're fighters. We keep going. I want to personally, like I said, I've been the last couple of weeks, last month or so has been a struggle. And I can't thank our fan base enough and the people who subscribe to our Patreon. And I especially want to thank my I know he's watching right now, my good buddy, Mike. He's at home with his family. And your friends show you the quality of their character when you're going through troubles. And Mike Gilbert, I can honestly say, is one of my dearest friends in the whole world, and I love you. And I want to just tell everyone that you're a guy that I care about deeply, and I can't wait to see you again next week. Scott, thank you so much for jumping on with us. You are definitely my go-to when we need a dude to fill in, and this was the perfect week to have you on. There's nobody else I would rather talk about Mercedes Moné with than you. So thank you.
Don't forget, I am the guy that isn't Mike.
The guy that isn't Mike, not Mike Gilbert.
Not Mike Gilbert. So Scott, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, my friend.
It has been a pleasure. I assume Mike and I will record an overtime at some point over the weekend. We'll talk about that. I have zero clue what we're going to talk about. We finished the Sting series talking about the Young Bucks with our good buddy Josiah McDonald last week. It was a great Patreon episode. I'm going to record a JD Oliva project. I got some book stuff that I want to talk about. I've been wanting to do all this stuff, but life keeps getting in the way. So I'm going to record some stuff over the weekend. You know, Mike's going to do like 10 different streams over the next 5 days. I'm sure he'll have another Bracer Impact out soon. So keep an eye on the channel. Keep an eye on the Voices Wrestling. Keep an eye on the Mike and JD YouTube channel. Well, other than that, we'll be back next week, guys. And until then, I don't want to do Mike's Mahalo line. I'll just say see you later.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rain, on the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.